Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're taking a plain breakbeat and turning it into a chopped vinyl texture that feels dusty, alive, and properly at home in a drum and bass track. The goal here is not just to make a loop sound lo-fi. We're building a rhythmic bassline texture hybrid, something that can sit under your drums, fill the gaps between snare hits, and add movement without stealing the low end. That's a very drum and bass kind of move. It gives you grit, swing, and attitude in the mid-range, while leaving the sub clean and powerful. This works especially well in jungle, rollers, darker halftime influenced D&B, and those broken club tunes where you want character without clutter. And the reason it matters musically is simple. It creates human timing, tension, and texture. Technically, it matters because you can load the mids with energy while keeping the bottom end mono punchy and readable. So let's build it from the ground up. Start with the right source. Drag in a short break, a vinyl-flavored drum loop, or even a clean loop that you can rough up. For a beginner-friendly result, pick something with a strong snare, some hat to tail, and at least one clear transient you can chop. If you already have a jungle break, great. If not, any tight break around 160 to 174 BPM will work once it's warped properly. For drum break, keep the warp mode simple if you can. You want the transients to stay punchy. If the source is more melodic or pitch sensitive, then you can go more complex, but for this kind of part, clarity is more important than fancy stretching. What to listen for here is the snare. It needs to still feel strong after warping. If the break turns blurry or smeared, choose a cleaner loop or reduce the amount of stretch. Clean transients make everything else easier. Now slice the break into playable pieces. In Ableton Live 12, right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Slice by transient if possible, so each chop lands on its own pad. Then play a rough pattern from the slices. Don't chase perfection yet. Just build a one or two bar phrase with a couple of strong snare anchors, some short hat or ghost slices in between, and maybe a repeated hit to create a stutter feel. At this stage, think call and response. The stronger chops censor the smaller fragments. That contrast is what gives the loop a real groove. What to listen for is whether the pattern already feels like it wants to move, even before effects. If every slice feels equally important, the loop will sound flat. You need hierarchy. A good chopped break has lead hits and supporting hits, just like a bass line has root notes and passing notes. Next, make it feel like chopped vinyl instead of random edits. Shorten most of the MIDI notes so the chops stay brief. If you're using velocities, give them some variation. A good starting range is a little bit of contrast between the ghost chops and the anchor hits. Strong hits should stand out, and smaller pieces should sit back. You can also nudge a few of the smaller chops slightly late, just a few milliseconds behind the grid. Keep your anchor hits stable, especially the ones near the snare. That tiny amount of looseness is what gives the texture a human feel. Why this works in D&B is because the best chopped breaks live in that tension between precision and drag. The snare keeps the track locked, while the smaller fragments lean back and add weight. That's a classic jungle and roller trick. It feels played, not programmed. Now we build the core processing chain. A very solid starting point is auto filter into saturator into EQ8. Simple, but effective. With auto filter, start by deciding whether the break is acting more like texture or more like a bass line layer. If you want it tucked in and dusty, lean toward low pass or band pass movement. If you want a bit more presence, let more mid-range through. A good cutoff starting point depends on the source, but the main idea is to keep the part out of the subzone. Then add saturator, a moderate amount of drive, maybe just enough to thicken the break and bring it forward, can do a lot. If the peaks get spiky, use soft clip. The goal is density, not harshness. You want it closer and dirtier, not just louder. Finally, use EQ8 to clean up the edges. Cut muddy lows if the loop crowds the kick and sub. Tame any brittle harshness if the chops get too sharp. In most cases, you want the deep low end gone or heavily reduced, because the real sub should own that lane. What to listen for after the saturation is whether the loop sounds more present and more physical, not just louder. If it starts hissing or biting, back off the drive and trim a little high mid energy. Good saturation should feel like the sample got pressed into the track, not pasted on top. At this point, choose your flavor. There are two strong directions. The first is dusty and narrow. Keep the break mostly mono, use more filtering, and focus on mid-range texture and groove. This is perfect for dark rollers and restrained drops. The second is wider and more spectral. Keep the low mid centered, but allow only the higher detail to breathe in stereo. That works well for more energetic jungle moments or switch-up sections. Just be careful not to widen the whole break. If the low mids get wide, the kick and snare can lose power fast. A useful rule here is simple. Center the groove, widen the debris. That keeps the part club safe and avoids phase problems. Now add movement with automation. You don't need huge sweeps. In fact, small changes usually sound more expensive. Open the filter slightly over 2 or 4 bars, then close it again at the next phrase. Keep the resonance modest. Too much resonance and the chop starts sounding like a whistle instead of a texture. You can also use tiny pitch movement later if you resample, but for now, keep the live part focused on filter motion and maybe subtle volume changes on individual chops. The best filter movement in DNB often feels like somebody riding the record, not like a giant effect sweep. That makes the loop feel performed. What to listen for is whether the motion adds life between the snare hits, not whether it sounds dramatic in solo. If the automation makes the whole bar feel too busy, reduce the depth. Subtlety is usually stronger in a mix. Now bring in the drums and sub before you get too attached to the loop. Solo can lie to you. Always test it in context. Try the break with kick and snare first, then add the sub, then the rest of the bass if there is one. If the break sits above a heavy sub, high pass it more aggressively and let it become texture. If it's acting as the bass line itself in a jungle or stripped back roller, you can allow a little more body, but still protect the range below roughly 80 to 120 Hz. If the break is fighting the snare on 2 and 4, stop and fix the chop pattern first. Don't pile on more effects. The snare has to stay authoritative. That backbeat is the spine of the tune. This is where the groove starts to feel like real drum and bass. Place a few chops so they answer the snare instead of landing on top of it. A simple one-bar idea could be a snare anchor on beat 2, a quick ghost chop right after it, some breathing room before beat 3, and then another short answer phrase after beat 4. In a 2-bar phrase, you might make bar 1 tighter and busier, then bar 2 a little more open with one longer hold or a small gap. Why this works in DNB is because the hierarchy stays readable. The drum kit still leads, and the chopped break becomes a rhythmic bassline-like phrase because it interacts with the backbeat rather than smothering it. If the loop disappears for a bar and the track feels emptier in a good way, that's a great sign. It means the texture is earning its place. If the track barely changes when it drops out, then it might be too busy, too loud, or too similar to the main drums. If the live version is close but still too clean, resample it. Printing to audio is one of the fastest ways to make a part feel like a real DNB record element instead of a MIDI exercise. Record the processed break to a new audio track, then chop the best 1 or 2 bar section again. Once printed, you can reverse a hit, trim tiny gaps, pitch sections down slightly, or warp a slice for extra drag or urgency. A really useful resample pass often includes EQ8, saturator, and maybe a very controlled touch of redux or echo-style space. But keep that space dark and short. If the texture needs air, a short, shadowy tail is usually better than a bright wash. Here's a strong workflow tip. Once you've got one great printed loop, duplicate it and make a second version with a different filter motion. That gives you a quick A and B for the second drop without rebuilding from scratch. That's a very professional habit, and it saves a lot of time. Now arrange it like a real DNB phrase. Don't leave it as a permanent one-bar loop. In the intro or pre-drop, use a filtered tease. In the drop, bring in the full chopped vinyl texture under the drums. By bar 9 or so, open the filter a little or add one extra slice repeat. In the second half of the drop, remove a few chops so the pattern breathes, then bring them back with a slightly different ending. The key is evolution. This part should change every 8 bars at minimum. It doesn't need a huge rewrite. One reverse chop, one extra gap, one filter rise, one removed slice. That's enough to stop the loop from sounding pasted in. And if you have a second drop, make it different in one obvious way. More open, darker, more stripped, more frantic, whatever serves the energy curve of the track. You don't need 5 tiny changes. One clear contrast usually hits harder in the club. A few common mistakes come up a lot with this technique. The first is leaving too much low end in the chopped break. That will fight the kick and sub, and indeed NB that kills impact fast. Cut it hard below the sub zone and let the real low end do its job. The second is making every chop equally loud. That flattens the groove. Instead, let your anchor hit stand out and keep the ghost chops lighter and shorter. The third is overmodulating the filter. Big sweeps might sound exciting in solo, but they can make the drop feel blurry. Keep the movement musical and controlled. Another mistake is widening the whole break. That can smear the center and weaken mono compatibility. If you want width, widen only the higher detail. And finally, don't crowd the snare. If the texture steps on beats 2 and 4, the whole groove loses its backbone. Here are a few pro moves that work especially well in darker and heavier DNB. Let some of the ghost chop sit just behind the beat. Keep the anchors locked, but let the small fragments drag a touch. Use saturation for density, not brightness. A little more of it can make the loop feel closer and more aggressive, but if the top end starts fizzing, pull back and re-EQ. Also, remember that subtraction can create menace. One empty beat inside a phrase can feel darker than another fill. Negative space makes the next chop hit harder. And when you automate, expose and conceal the break rather than sweeping it wide open. Dark DNB often sounds better when the loop feels half hidden, then briefly revealed.